Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember cassette tape players, but you remember what a tape sounded like when the battery was running down? That's what that sounded like to me the whole time. I was like, come on, speed up. No, slow down, so I'll get right. Anyway, so I'm glad to see all of you guys here this morning. Listen, I'm so happy about this summer series we're just starting today. And I believe by the time you get finished through this particular sermon, you're going to be happy too. Because the title of this sermon series is called Happy. So I wondered how long it would take for you to clue in with me where we're going with that. But the reality is, I want you to set yourself to hear from God today, because when we meet him in his Bible, he always teaches us what is true, shows us what's messed up, and shows us how to get back in line with his very best for us. And today, that's what you're going to experience. We also are doing something fun, I think is fun, and I think many of you will enjoy it too. During our summer series, we're using what's called the tag team approach, which means that our teaching team is going to be joined by some new faces that we're adding to the teaching team, and I think you're going to enjoy hearing from these guys and gals as well. So today I've got the opportunity to work with one of the folks you probably haven't heard, but he's a really exciting part of our team, and you're going to love hearing from him as well. This particular message starts in the New Testament book of Matthew, chapter 5, and this is the beginning of something that we, if you've read some things through the scriptures, or you've looked at a study Bible, or maybe you've heard some people talk about this passage of scriptures, you may have heard of something called the Sermon on the Mount. So the Sermon on the Mount, that's what this whole passage of scripture that we're going to look at today is really the opening context for what the sermon is going to be about. And so in the section of scriptures we're going to look at the beginning of this really long sermon is called the Beatitudes, the Beatitudes. Everyone say Beatitudes. All right, so we're going to be working our way through this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. I'm going to jump in and read it. I'm going to ask that you listen and see if a word pops out to you and becomes a theme that you hear. And if so, at the end of that, we'll check and see how you've done. And if you answer just right, I'll let you go 5 minutes early today. Hey, thanks for laughing. I'm really trying hard. Humor is not my love language, but I am trying hard. Let's read this together. Ready? Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. I'll read it to you, and I'll listen for these words. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. And you can pronounce that word blessed. Or if you grew up reading a King James Version and going to a Pentecostal church like I did, it was blessed. You just sound a little more religious if you say blessed. But it's really just blessed if you just look at it. But you can say blessed if you want, if you feel better. So right now think, blessed or blessed? Coke or Pepsi? I don't know. Whichever one you want. But it all means the same thing. All right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. I love that phrase, rejoice and be glad. It really comes from the same word in the original language. It literally means jump up and down for glee and joy. So rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. So when all these things are happening, rejoice. Jump up and down. Be super, like uber glad and happy. Why? Because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So a couple of things I want to connect the dots with you on this morning, and then we're going to go right through this the study today, and I'm asking God to turn the lights on for you and me, and let's let him show us or illuminate an understanding that really will make a difference in how we perceive happiness. All right, so that word blessed in the original language is makarios, which means happy. So literally when the original hearers were listening to this sermon from Jesus, they weren't listening to him saying like this, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Jesus was saying, hey, happy are the people who mourn because they're going to be comforted. And they're like, what? Happy are the meek. They're going to inherit the earth. What? Because he's saying something and it seems irrational to say this is tied to this. Because happy and mourn don't seem like they fit together, do they? In fact, if you had never heard this before, you would probably be as shocked as the original hearers of this message. We're not shocked of it anymore because perhaps you've read a little bit of the Bible and realized that Jesus often talks and teaches from heaven's perspective that things, the way we naturally think of them, are opposite of how they work in heaven. So a lot of times when we think about what Jesus is teaching, we think, oh yeah, that's Jesus. He teaches truth, and it's often backwards from how we normally think of it. But the original hearers of this were shocked at this message because none of it makes sense. They probably thought, what are you smoking when you're teaching this stuff? All right? I don't know if they really thought that or not, but it wouldn't be too big of a stretch to imagine people scratching their heads thinking, what in the world are you teaching? Because it doesn't make sense. Well, that recurring theme actually does mean happy. So Jesus literally meant that those who mourn or those who are poor in spirit are going to be happy. So we're going to take a look over the next few weeks. We're going to look under the cover and open the hood and see, Jesus, what are you really talking about? Because one thing we know about Jesus is he doesn't lie. Doesn't lie. So if he's telling us, there's something we need to hear, know, understand, and apply so we end up experiencing the truth of what he's talking about. Now, the last thing I'll say before I introduce the next speaker for this morning is this. The Beatitudes are very important to us because they start with the word be. So it is a be attitude. In other words, this is an attitude that affects our being, is a way to kind of understand this. So these are values, or these are deep things that become a defining part of who we are, not just what we feel. So God wants you to know that it's possible to be in the condition of happy while you experience a circumstance that causes you to mourn. You're like, what? How can I mourn and yet be happy? Well, we're gonna look at that today because Jesus wants you to know that the things that darkness tries to get us to do so that we experience happiness, those things that we try to buy, be, or experience, those things that are naturally thought of when it comes to happiness, actually do produce a fleeting feeling of happiness, but that feeling fades away and it never changes who we are. Got it? For example, let's say you're a grump. Maybe not you, but the person next to you. That person's a grump. And that person gets a brand new car. And for like a week, they're like happy. And then the grump shows up again. Why? For a fleeting few minutes, they were happy, but really they were grump. So they're happy grump. But the happy faded away and the grumpness stayed the same. So that's the condition that Jesus is talking about. I want to show you how that can be happy no matter what the circumstances that you're facing. And I don't know about you, but I face a lot of circumstances that test the happy in life. And I want to know how to be happy no matter what circumstance I'm facing. I was talking to one of our band members who brought up a fact listening to one of the services they were at in earlier. And they said, you know, Pastor Dave, this is really interesting. As you were saying that, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me that people who perhaps have been diagnosed with an emotional or a mental dilemma or challenge in their mind might think, oh, that's good for everybody else, but I've been diagnosed with this. Or Pastor Dave, that's a good message for somebody else, but my husband just walked out the door. Or Pastor Dave, that's a good common message for generally kind of life issues, general life issues, but I'm in a unique circumstance. And she said, you know, as the Holy Spirit showed me that, he whispered into my heart, this is for everyone, including people who think their unique circumstance is unique. Because Jesus doesn't lie. He tells us what's true. So I want to encourage you to open your heart and open your mind and let Jesus nudge and massage the way you think about this in a different direction, so that as we finish this particular series, you may have discovered that over the next 8 weeks, there's a real life change that happens, and you become a person who experiences joy and happiness at a deeper level. All right, so that's where I'm going to pause. I'm going to introduce a new face to you this afternoon. His name is Pastor, or soon to be Dr. Abel Aguilar. And so I said soon to be doctor because he's one of the professors in the Theos Bible College that we run here at LifeLink Church. It's an accredited Bible college, and we're going to be kicking off a new semester, or new school year in September. We'll have an interest meeting for those of you that are interested in that. He's one of the professors. He has a master's degree in biblical languages from Oral Roberts University. He's a great guy, but more important than any of that, he's happy. And so I figured it'd be a great way to introduce the sermon on happy with bringing you Pastor Abel Aguilar. So would you join me this afternoon? Put your hands together. Come on, church. Let's welcome Pastor Abel Aguilar. Woohoo! Come on.
All right. I figured I better come out here smiling, or I would make Pastor Dave to be a liar. He said, I'm happy. No, I am happy. So for those of you who haven't that I haven't had the privilege to meet yet. Again, I'm Pastor Abel Aguilar. My wife, Pastor Elise is working in the children's ministry right now, and it's a pleasure to be here before you. So you ready to jump in on this? All right. As Pastor Dave alluded to why the path of happiness is different than what the world portrays, let's go ahead and write down our first point here. Number one, get your pens ready. Happiness does not come from external circumstances. Let me say it again. Let it soak in. Happiness does not come from external circumstances. You see, our culture identifies happiness as when I get that new job, I'll be happy. When I can get my bank account to that certain level and get the 000s after it, I'll be happy. If I can get that new spouse, that boyfriend, that girlfriend, if I can have that relationship, I will be happy. And that's not what reality is. That's not what Jesus is saying here. As Pastor Dave read Matthew chapter 5, we see that Jesus says, blessed are you who are poor, meek, hungry, persecuted, mourning. He's speaking a paradox here. It doesn't make any sense. It's totally contradicting. And as Pastor Dave touched on it, the hearers are like, what? What's going on here? Blessed are you, he says, who mourn. So even your emotions, when you're not feeling your best, that's not true happiness. You can be happy and feel horrible, right? Jesus understands that happiness is not money. Happiness is not found in material things. There's an old song from the Gaither Vocal Band. Anybody know who they are? Oh, hey, all right. There's more people in this service than... Thank you. All right, because some people looked at me like, what? There's an old song called Forever. And I love the words. This song is so beautiful. And this is so true right here. And I'm gonna quote this to you. It says, a material life is a life of illusion. Material dreams soon turn to dust. But life in the spirit is a new revelation, a spiritual treasure that never will rust. And I get chills. Just it's just so powerful. And if we want to talk about the possibility of wealth bringing happiness, let's look at King Solomon. King Solomon was one of the greatest kings in the Bible. And he was the son of David. And he actually built the temple of God in Israel. And some things to understand here about King Solomon. He was so rich that he had no silverware. It was all gold in his palace. Could you imagine bringing out that dining set when the friends come over? They're like, hey, this is pretty heavy. It's all gold, right? He made silver as common as rocks in Israel. He possessed hundreds of horses and stables. He built a fleet of ships, and all of his soldiers that would sail these ships. He would send to exotic lands, and they would bring back all kinds of amazing things, all kinds of exotic animals. He had thousands of servants. He had the finest cuisine. If you ever been to a real fancy restaurant, you know, and it's really expensive, and they bring out that meal, and you're really hungry, but it's like the size of that, right? And you paid $100 for it, and you're like, oh. But it tastes really good because it's designer, right? The finest cuisine. He possessed great intellect and wisdom. His throne was coated in pure gold, and it was inlaid with ivory. All kinds of exotic animals. It was said that he loved monkeys and apes. He had 700 wives, hello, and 300 concubines. Now, these were not ordinary women. These were women that were of royalty, women that were princesses. And he didn't put them in no shack, right? He gave them the finest, unparalleled luxury. This guy could afford a lot. He's not listed as just one of the richest men in history. He's listed as the richest man in history. So you're probably wondering, well, who are the richest men in history? Anybody, everybody ever go to bed at night and go, who are the richest men in history? Because I'd like to be one, right? I'm going to give you a list. You've heard of David Letterman's top 10 countdown, right? Anybody ever seen that? He's not even on the late night show. Does that even go? I don't know. I haven't watched TV in so long. All right, here's Pastor Abel's top 10 richest men in history. Here we go. At number 10, Alan Rufus, $178 billion. That's a little bit. Number 9, Cornelius Vanderbilt, $185 billion. Number 8, Henry Ford, $199 billion. Anybody drive a Ford? You helped him get rich. He's long gone now, but whoever gets that money. Number 7, Jacob Fugger of the Lily, $221 billion. Number 5, Tsar Nicholas II of Russia. He was worth $300 billion. Number 4, Andrew Carnegie, as in the Carnegie Hall. He was worth $310 billion. Number 3, Mansa Musa I, $400 billion. John D. Rockefeller, number 2, $663.4 billion. Why does the point four even matter at this point? He's worth billions. And coming in at number 1, hold on to something. Hold on to your socks. They're going to blow off here in a minute. Ready? We have King Solomon. His estimated value by today's economy and standards is $2.1 trillion. Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say, wow. Now turn to your other neighbor and say, wow, upside down. No, you missed it. See, mom, wow, and flip it, mom. I'm testing you. All right. Solomon wrote this in the book of Ecclesiastes. He said this of himself. He says, I also tried to find meaning by building huge homes for myself and by planting beautiful vineyards. I made gardens and parks, filling them with all kinds of fruit trees. I built reservoirs to collect water to irrigate my many flourishing groves. I bought slaves, both men and women, and others who were born into my household. I also owned large herds and flocks, more than any of the kings who had lived in Jerusalem before me. I collected great sums of silver and gold, the treasure of many kings and provinces. I hired wonderful singers, both men and women, and had many beautiful concubines. I had everything a man could desire. So I became greater than all who had lived in Jerusalem before me. And my wisdom never failed me. Anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in hard work and reward for all my labors. How did he become so wealthy? Have you ever wondered that? Well, understand that when he was king, Israel's border stretched from Egypt to the Euphrates. That's a large landmass. He controlled the movement of exports through the European, the Asian, and the African trade routes. So if you see a map, there's a Mediterranean Sea. He controlled all of that. As a result, Solomon could tax all goods transported by caravans through those areas at whatever price he wanted to. So it was said that each year he received 25 tons of gold and various gifts from different peoples and groups to allow things to transport through there. And here's something interesting. Look at Ecclesiastes 2, verse 11. After he talks about all the things he did, he says this. He says, but as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so meaningless, like chasing wind. Why would you say that? There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere, he says. And we read in 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 9, at the end of his life, again, he reigned for 40 years. It says this, "The Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice." Not only did he amass amazing wealth beyond what you and I could possibly imagine, but it says the Lord appeared to him twice, and yet his heart was empty. There was nothing. And he had everything he could possibly want. This leads us to our next point. Number two, get ready to write this down. Lasting happiness comes from God and the way you and I relate to him. That's the only way. The way to happiness is an ongoing, intimate, passionate relationship with God, who is happy. And would you welcome back Pastor Dave as he tells us and explains why this is the case. Thank you.
All right, come on, you guys. Let's put our hands together and give Pastor Abel some love. That was good stuff. I thought it was hilarious, the point four. I mean, at that point, who cares, right? As far as the billion, so. So it's just the point four. I'll take the point four, someone says. So anyway, let me just see if I can tailgate with where he was at and revisit this issue from a fresh perspective. We want to be happy. Happiness is a big industry. It drives a lot of decisions for people. And many of us, honestly, are taunted by the idea, if I only had that, if I only experienced that, if I could be that, if I could be known as that, then I would be happy. And a lot of times, whether it's a direct connection to finance or an indirect connection to finance, we think the issue is, I just don't have enough resources to buy that, to be that, to become whatever. And so it's like I run out of money before I get to happy. You know what I'm talking about? If I just had a little bit more, I could get that and then I would be happy. One of the things I'm really grateful that God let Solomon actually go through the whole spectrum of wealth and all that wealth does give us the ability to be and do is it proves that no matter how much you have as far as money or influence or fame or leadership or popularity or whatever, no matter how much of that you have, you can never get too happy through that. Because he didn't run out of money before he got to happy. He ran all the way through the end of everything and just said, no matter what I ultimately have, I'm still unhappy. It's like chasing wind. It's, in other words, the pursuit of that and all my accomplishments still left me unhappy. Unhappy. And so as we're moving towards the pause point for today's message, the key thing to identify is, what's the difference between a fleeting feeling of happiness and a condition of being happy? The difference between a feeling happy and being happy. And to be honest with you, I think so few people are actually happy that we've just grown accustomed to trying to satisfy happy with feeling happy from time to time. But God says, no, that's not what I created you for. There's a way that you can be happy no matter what you go through. And that's where we're at. So Pastor Abel ended his section of the message today looking at the issue that lasting happiness comes from God and the way that I relate to him. And here's the reason why. Let me give you a couple of fill-ins. Lasting happiness is an emotional reflection of a spiritual condition. Lasting happiness is an emotional reflection. In other words, we feel it, but it's that feeling that we experience is a reflection of something else. That's called the spiritual condition. Spiritual condition. So if the spiritual condition is right with God, who is a happy God, then we constantly have the ability to experience the flow, the reflection of that, from our spirit into who we are. But most of the time we try to feel happy by doing something or obtaining something or experiencing something. But here's what we really come to realize. Write this down. We cannot meet a spiritual need with a natural source. We cannot really satisfy a spiritual need with a natural source. Now, let me be careful to add here. I'm not advocating for a monochromatic, dull life that has no joy or happiness in it. So sometimes when we're teaching things like this, it may come across like, well, Pastor Dave, you don't want us to be happy. I'm like, oh no, that's the furthest thing from the truth. What God is saying to us is he doesn't want us to be deceived by how happiness works. We can't buy it. We can't achieve it. We can't possess it. We experience it as a reflection of something he does in us. So lasting happiness over a lifetime comes from him, because he is a happy God. And when we open our soul, open our spirit, and connect with God, he brings that happiness in. And then we have the reflection of that that we experience. Blessed refers to God all over the Bible. We know he's a happy God because we see things like this in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. It says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. The blessed God. What does the word blessed mean? Happy. According to the gospel of the happy God. God is happy. When he created everything that we see and the things that are unseen, he created everything. He said every time he finished creating something, he stepped back and go, man, that's good. Now that makes me happy. He created the next thing. That's good. I'm happy. He created the next thing. That's good. I'm happy. So God wants us to know that the nature of who he is filled with joy and happiness. Filled with joy and happiness. And when we open our heart to God and say, I want a relationship with you, God, God essentially comes into the core of who we are with his spirit. His Holy Spirit begins to connect with us. We're born again, the Bible says, and that life flows from him into the core of who we are. And then the Bible gives this beautiful picture, and we see in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says this, but the Holy Spirit in you produces this kind of fruit or results in our lives. In other words, when we open our life to say yes to Jesus Christ and begin to relate, we welcome him as our Lord and Savior. We repent for living a self-centered life and say, God, I want you in my life. I want you in my heart. I want to live my life related to you. I want to live following your lordship, your direction as my God. I want my life to be lived your way. The Bible says, then his spirit moves inside of us and we become alive. And then he says in this passage of scripture that his Holy Spirit inside of us actually causes things to happen. That's what the word fruit means. He's not talking about bananas and cranapples and stuff like that. He's talking about cranberries, I should say. Cranapple, I don't think that's a real thing, is it? That's a drink. We feed it to babies, right? They love it. Or, I don't know why I'm talking, Esther, why am I talking about cranapples? It's a cocktail of some kind, right? So anyway, the bottom line is that fruit really means the resulting work of what the Holy Spirit does in us produces these effects. Look at them. Love. What's the next one? Joy. So we experience happiness that's a reflection of the joy in our life that comes from God being in us. And on and on it goes. Love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Holy Spirit inside of us that we have as we walk and live submitted to his lordship produces those very things. And the emotions we feel coming from that is the reflection of happiness reflects from the joy of what God does in us. So really the key to lasting happiness is not the pursuit of happiness as an end result itself, but it's pursue God, let him dwell in you. And he produces something inside of us called joy that reflects out to us that we experience the sensation or the experience of happiness. Which is why it is possible you can get a new cell phone and go, woohoo, I'm happy. And then a week later, it's like, why did I sign up for that? Or sign up for a gym membership. Oh, I'm so happy. And 3 weeks later, you've only been to the gym once because it felt good to have a membership, but you weren't really interested in actually exercising. Or get a new car, new house, new husband, new wife. You know, whatever the thing is that feels like it ought to do the trick, and we get that, and it's like, Because if you're pursuing something to make you happy, you've already missed the point. God says the pursuit of happiness as an end is never going to work. However, if you pursue me and you open your heart to relate with me, right, that relationship is going to produce something inside of you, which is the ability to have joy as the core of your life, so that the happiness and joy that you experience is born from the inside, no matter what the outside faces, which is how we can be happy while we mourn. We can be happy and meek at the same time. We can be happy and be a peacemaker, which means I'm in the middle of turmoil. There's no reason to be a peacemaker unless you're in the middle of turmoil, which means you can be in the middle of turmoil that's intense, like a war almost, and yet be happy. And these promises that God gives us are not, they're not haunting, empty words. They're promises of how it actually works. And so over the next few weeks, this is what we're going to look at. We're going to study and say, Jesus, help us understand this. Why? Because you went out of your way to tell us this. We want to understand it. So the next 8 weeks, we're going to do that. I just want to say that if you would not characterize your life as being a life lived for God in the Lordship and that salvation relationship, if you feel far away from God right now, you've come to the right place. LifeLink is here to link people and God together for life. And we specialize in helping people feel God and find Him so they can follow Him. Why? Because it's in the following of God that that relationship is forged, and that life-saving relationship grows over time. And LifeLink Church is really good at helping people do that, because that's all we do. We link people and God together for life. And one of the ways we do that is something you're experiencing now on Sunday morning. In the atmosphere of worship, we sense and feel God's presence, where we go, oh, there's God, I found Him. Now I understand where He's at and I can follow Him. The next step from here is actually to be equipped to grow in that relationship. And we do that through something called the growth track, which means from here, I want to encourage you to say yes to stepping into our growth track, which always meets during the second service, the second Sunday service of the month. So next week at 10:15, I'd encourage you to be here and come through growth track. Why? Because it's one of the ways we help people click with God. We don't want to just do church services ad nauseum. We want people to feel God, find Him, and follow Him, so we can help them learn how to have a life that follows God. Why? Because of things like this. A life in relationship with Jesus makes a real difference. So I want to encourage you to take that step. But for today, if you feel far away from God, the very next step for you is to say yes to Jesus Christ, which means saying, Lord, forgive me for sinning against You. I recognize You died for me, Jesus, and I'm going to ask Your forgiveness for my sins, that You come into my heart and lead me forward as my only God from this day forward, because I'm following You. So that's really a big step that every one of you that feel far away from God or know you're not white hot with God, then I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking You with every person in this room that You would give us strength to acknowledge where we actually are in our relationship with You. God, we don't want to pretend and just be religious. We want the benefits that comes with a real relationship with You. And so today, we ask Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, You would stir our hearts and fill us with courage to just admit it and start taking the steps forward to grow in a life-saving relationship with You. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask, if that's you and you know it is, and you're ready to say yes to Jesus for a lifetime, I'm asking you to say yes in your spirit right now. And then join us as we all pray this prayer out loud together. Heavenly Father, come on, everyone. Heavenly Father, thank You for loving me enough to tell me the truth in Your Bible. Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross to pay for all of my sins. I'm asking You to forgive me for every sin I've ever committed, that You wash me and cleanse me and make me brand new, because today I'm surrendering to You and deciding to follow You as my God and my Savior from this day forward. No turning back, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Come on, you guys. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.